Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
35 degrees and rain at present. It feels like 25. Which I think the vast majority of people would say this exact weather is the very worst possible weather when you're going to a football game. I mean, the baseball game is going to be called off. Obviously, hockey, you don't have to worry about it. But 35 and rain is way worse than snow. I don't even know if anybody would say different. Sal doesn't have to worry about it. Sal joins us from Florida, where hopefully it is not 35 degrees and feels like 25.
It is currently, I'm looking on the dash here, it's 85 degrees where
85.
I am right now. And, yeah, it's hot. However, I'll be in Buffalo in, like, I don't know, tonight. And it's going to be, I'm going to walk out in 30-degree, 25-degree weather. I don't really know. So, yeah, you're right about that, though. I agree with you. I always say for football games, for Bills games, like on the sidelines, I would rather have, I don't know, you know, 20 degrees than 30 in the rain. Or 40 even in rain. It's the worst, but you're right about that. Yeah, it's hot here. It's hot. You forget how hot it is sometimes. You know, it's nice, but hey, you know, just around the corner in Buffalo, I think, before it gets nicer.
And 60s Saturday, so you'll be right on time for that.
Yeah, there you go. I love it.
DJ Moore, Sal, what are your thoughts?
You know, I'm the guy that's been saying take the biggest swing as possible. Now, we don't know what got the Bills to DJ Moore. Did they call about Justin Jefferson? Did they call about Ja'Marr Chase? I'm just saying, like, the top guys in the league, do you make a call and see if they're available, and do you get hung up on, right? And if that's the case, you know, they're unattainable, then you keep going down the order, and you get to a really nice player in DJ Moore. This is not that type of player that, you know, I say, sign me up for whatever it takes to get those names that I just mentioned. That's not this guy, but he's still a good player. That said, the compensation feels heavy to me. You know, second round pick is tough. It doesn't mean it can't work. It can't be great. And DJ Moore, maybe he winds up having, you know, an incredible year, and you look back and say, you know what, it was well worth the second round pick. I do believe, I have said, and I'll stay true on this, I have preferred the trade or even free agent option more than drafting. I mean, I like the money part of drafting, but you just don't know what you're going to get. They've tried to draft. It just hasn't worked out as much. I'd rather have the proven commodity. But the proven commodity comes with a hefty price tag here, and that's what, you know, scares you a little bit, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yes. I'm almost identical in how I feel about this to you. The price is the problem. And what's going to make conversation, debate about this trade interesting, if not either insufferable, is, you know, the easy counterpoint to, well, it's an overpay, is so what? I mean, I need a top wide receiver, and this is what I've got. So am I going to miss the cap room? Am I going to miss the draft pick? I don't know. I don't think you can really ever go that far. It's never quite so what, Sal, for me. And no one can know if pick 60, if they ended up staying there, might have meant somebody important now and down the road. People are, I think, in defending the trade, kind of assuming that the pick is not going to be good, which I won't do. But, yeah, I mean, I think the player is good, but,
yeah. I mean, the Bills, they had a second-round pick in Keon Coleman that hasn't worked out. In that same draft, they drafted Cole Bishop in the second round. You know, he looks really good. And you just don't know. But I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth here and say, like, oh, the draft and all that, because I've said, and I agree, and I think that they had to go get somebody who's played in this league and had success. That's where they are now. You can't rely on drafting a guy and hoping he comes in, he can be the player you thought he was at that position. I mean, like, where they're drafting position or trading up five spots like they've done a couple times. Like, they've done that. It hasn't necessarily worked out, and sometimes it takes a couple years. They don't have a couple years anymore. Like, this isn't – you need to win. Now, the other part is, too, which I want to be consistent on, is I have said, as you know, Mike, this offseason at wide receiver to me is not about adding to the bottom of the depth chart and lifting everybody up. It is about going to the top of the depth chart. DJ Moore does that. He goes to the top of the depth chart. I like DJ Moore. He is a really good player. I mean, you know, I've had him on fantasy leagues multiple times, so I know, like, what he can do. The guy's had 90 catches three times in his career. He's available. He plays all the time. He is not in the elite stratosphere of the other guys I mentioned, but he's going to be a good player for the Bills and a reliable player for the Bills, I believe. It just does make you kind of wince a little bit and go, man, that second-round pick, like, it feels like it's a little bit heavy, like I said, on what they've had to give up and what other people have had to give up or things in the past, and you hope that doesn't come back to fight them. But, man, I'm all in on helping this team right now.
There's the draft capital aspect of it, and then there's the dollars and the cap hit that this is. Sal, I don't know that the Bears could have ended up releasing DJ Moore, but part of my problem today is feeling like he should have been cheaper, that you're almost, I think Jeremy put it this way, doing Chicago a favor. It seemed like a player they were clearly looking to get out of, even more so than the Bills with Diggs a couple of years ago, where I didn't think there was quite the chorus of analysts predicting that Diggs would be traded. But DJ Moore, with Burden hitting and Odunze and Loveland and just how his production was mitigated there, and for the money, it seemed like he was going to be traded or cut. That's part of what this is, too, that bothers me. It's not just a second-round pick, and they also got a fifth back. It's not just that. It's that for the contract, I wanted to think that he would have been cheaper than this. And, by the way, and I'd like your thought on this, too, interesting that when the story broke, it was put as it would be a mid-round pick. So either that was just wrong or something changed.
Yeah, I totally get that. So a couple things about this. Number one, you're right, maybe they were going to do that. But there's no guarantee. Then 31 teams can sign him, though. Right? To get him for the Bills, to guarantee to get him, you trade for him. That's what you do.
Yep.
And he has this contract. So, yeah, you're right. Like, maybe he gets released and you can sign him for cheaper, but maybe you can't. Maybe he gets released and another team offers him a lot of money. You're like, well, we can't have him now. We really wanted him. And this is the guy that we landed on. Now we have to pivot and do the same thing. And he's in the same boat as an Alec Pierce, a Romeo Doubs, whatever. And, you know, he's kind of back at square one. So I understand that, but you just don't. Why you, hey, if we're going to, hey, we're going to release him, he can go to 31 other teams. Well, let's not do that. Let's work out a deal here. And, you know, then the compensation is what the compensation is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was weird too, the mid-round pick type of thing. The other thing is, Mike, you have to tell me, I'm not positive. I know when the trade was made, there was talk about his salary and the guarantees. I think though, from what I've seen since, I think number sheer, right? But they'd still be next year, obviously, the year after.
You're breaking up there, so I'm not sure what you were asking. But, yeah, I mean, guaranteed money is a big part of the equation here. And, you know, the issue, do you want to shoot that question again, maybe?
Yeah, I think there's a way that they can restructure the deal or at least move money around to take a less cap hit this year on the Bills.
Yeah.
I have not seen that, if that's the case. Because, like I said, if you know that in the last few hours that's come out, I think that's something that SpotTrack and other people have talked about.
Yeah, I think that's probably the plan, if it hasn't been announced. Sal Capaccio with me on the West Her Hotline. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is out today. Sabres and Penguins tonight, pregame at 6 from Pittsburgh. Is everybody eats dead? And, you know, coupling with that is, like, the idea. Some of the interesting speculation with Joe Brady as the head coach is, well, was it really the offense he wanted as the offensive coordinator? And, you know, here's a move where, I mean, they'd better be more pass-oriented next year with this player. I mean, maybe not dramatically, but you want to think from this, for the price they're paying, that they have intentions to get the ball down the field. I mean, he can be explosive more. So I wonder what you think this adds up to. It's still early. We don't have the draft yet even in free agency, but is this a shift, the sign of a probable shift in how they want to play?
I mean, maybe in how they want to play as far as like targets and distribution. And I do think they want to be more vertical. And this is a player that does help like that, right? This is a player that, you know, does have that ability to go down the field that you just talked about. I do think that helps them in a lot of ways like that. But Mike, I'm going to say, like, I think we're still going to hear everybody eats. I think we're still going to hear that, you know, this is because, again, everybody eats. I understand, like, when you say that, it is, well, where are the targets? How many people are involved? I get it. That is not truly what the Bills mean by it. What they mean when they say everybody eats is we are all going to do our roles, and it doesn't matter if you get the ball or not. You have a role to contribute to be a good team player. And if you do that, we will all share in the success. And that's what they mean by everybody eats. So I understand where you're coming from. I get it. But I just think that that needs to be said. Like, what they mean by it is not that everybody is going to share in these targets and we're not going to have a true number one.
Okay. So everybody eats at the buffet when the game is over, as long as they did their work, or else they have to sit in the corner.
That's pretty much what they mean. Now, I would also say, yes, is there an element of, especially after...
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
For Stephon Diggs and how that went, you know, south later or whatever, is there an element of, we don't want to rely on one person. It's not about one person and giving them all these targets because that puts pressure on the quarterback and all these people. Yes, I do think there's an element of that. But everybody eats basically means we're all going to get fat on wins and success if you do everything you're supposed to do to help your teammate and help this offense succeed.
Would you rule out wide receiver in round one after today? I would.
I would not. I know that's funny, right? I think that was a lot of speculation today. I mean, is it less likely? Sure, I'd say it's less likely. But I wouldn't rule it out. I think wide receiver is still on the table. I could see them devoting a lot of their free agent assets to the defensive side of the ball and then saying, okay, let's go get another young guy to add to this group. Because as of right now, I'm still thinking they're probably going to move on from Curtis Samuel and save that money. What's going to happen with Tyrell Shavers and his injury? Brandon Cooks is a free agent. Gabe Davis is in his injury. He's a free agent. I'm still not sure Keon Coleman's going to be on this team, to be quite honest with you, in 2026. So I still think there's a need at wide receiver, and I could absolutely justify a first-round pick on one.
I think that would be madness because of the other things they need. But, okay, I wonder if – what is Coleman's trade value to you? I mean, still young, potential, physically good. I mean, is he somebody where you could help recoup what you spent today in a move?
I would be stunned if the Bills got a second-round pick for Keon Coleman, if that's what you mean by recoup. I don't know, though, if you can let him go for anything less than like a fourth. That would be tough. He might need to be – like if you can't get better than, let's say, a fourth rounder at worst, right? Mm-hmm. Like to me, that feels like you got to try and make it work if that's the case. Like you'd rather hold on to him and say, you know what, we can make this work. Let's do it. That's not worth it for us if you're the Bills. He's still in a rookie contract. We still believe in his ability. We think he'll mature, be more professional. I'm not giving him up for anything less than that. If the Bills – or to trade Keon Coleman straight up for draft picks, and they got like a fifth or, you know, sixth or seventh, I think that's just a signal that they want to do anything they could to get rid of him.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, that's where it ended up with Elam, where just, yes, you know, they gave him away. But
the difference with Elam was, guys, let's remember, he was going into the last year of his deal. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you're like, what's the point? Anyway, like, yes, you're right about that, but one more year, and he's a free agent anyway, he's going to walk, right? So he'll get something for him. Now, Coleman still has 2 years left on his term. But, yes, I agree with that. At that point, it's just get something for him because we just don't want him here anymore.
Well, right. Good point. What Moore does, and you pointed out his durability, that's also reminiscent of Diggs, who just, like, never missed a game for most of his Bills tenure, if not all of it. But what Moore does that changes the equation this year is, like, he's always on the field, I think. That's another thing that you want to think would be true because of the investment they just made today. So not literally always, but, I mean, lion's share. And that's different for them. I mean, Shakir has his role, and you have whoever the blocking receiver is going to be, like Shavers or Davis in his day. And then what Kincaid, you know, whatever that 60% of snaps or whatever he was getting – I think, I don't know if that just squeezes Coleman completely out. There's the aspect, right, of what he's worth, but then also, like, what do they need him for if they have, you know, this new player who's just going to be taking all the snaps? I don't know. Like, that changes for him too, probably, today, Coleman.
Yeah, and Mike, I agree with that. And I'll say, I mean, I view it too, where if Keon Coleman, and people can look and go, well, if he's your fourth wide receiver, that kind of stinks, but at least you have him as a fourth wide receiver, let's say, and, you know, you can still use him. And I'm like, I don't know if the Bills want to deal with that. And what I mean by that is, like, that's what happened last year. The guy was, like, you know, obviously he was a healthy scratch a couple of times in the issues, but he's really, like, your buried wide receiver. And they were dealing with questions all the time about how did that happen with the guy you just drafted in the first pick of the second round. And that becomes a talking point you don't want to deal with, right? It becomes you should never be the bottom of the depth chart receiver should never be like a talking point storyline in a week.
Right.
That is not healthy for a football team. It's the same reason why you can't sign Cam Newton to be your backup quarterback, because he becomes a story, and that should not be a story throughout a week.
Yes. Yeah, that's, I agree. With Sal Capaccio, Mike Schoep here, Bulldog is out sick today. So, all right, well, there's a lot to process here with this trade. It's exciting. It's content. One aspect of it, Sal, is that more, and I'm not sure how much this is in all of this, but he's had a couple of situations where his effort has been questioned. I mean, literally walking off the field during a play. The last play of the season for the Bears, Chris Collinsworth was right to, what is DJ Moore doing here? Doesn't finish the route. Doesn't always have to be the receiver's fault on a play like that. But still, like, that's part of his bio, if you will, is like a couple of these kinds of things. Is that something, I think, when your team trades for a player, most people want to sort of ignore that kind of stuff or give the player the benefit of the doubt because he's yours now. So I think there'll probably be lots of pushback from the fans if we hear ourselves or Chicago people talking about what DJ Moore didn't do well enough. But I don't know, maybe do you have a sort of a walking in point when it comes to him in that way?
You know, I've heard the same things. I've seen the things you're talking about. I don't think it's been chronic. Something that, like, oh my God, you know, there's a lot that comes along with Stephon Diggs. There's a lot that comes along with AJ Brown. I don't think there's anything like that here with DJ Moore. But those things are valid, and it's not that you should ignore it, but I think you have to at least investigate and say, why did it happen? What's the situation? Why would it be different here? Why can we make sure? And I think because Joe Brady has coached him, you know, again, available 17 games, like, it's not like he's getting, you know, there's been issues off the field or anything like that. I would at least say the Bills, I'm sure, have done their due diligence here, and I would hope they would, and they'd be comfortable, you know, bringing this player in and thinking, no, that's not something we're going to have to worry about.
Okay. I was listening to you this morning before any of this, talking 7 o'clock this morning with Jeremy and Joe on different subjects, including they asked you about, like, your favorite free agent ideas, and you listed 3 or 4 players that you thought would be scheme fits on defense. And I wonder if you could just macro take that a little bit. How do you see the Bills and Jim Leonard wanting to rewire, you know, just scheme, player traits, things like this? How do you see them wanting their defense to be different?
I think they want to give you so many different looks and come from so many different places. They want to be more aggressive because of that. You know, the thing about Sean McDermott's defense over the years, and we can say, obviously, that there's been failures in the playoffs. We know that, you know, but for the most part, through his tenure in Buffalo, the defense has been very good, you know, for the most part. And part of the reason is they're so structurally sound. They're where they're supposed to be. They're coached to be here, do that, and it's a big part of it. And I'm not telling you that Jim Leonard's not going to be about fundamentals. Of course he is. But I think it's less about being the structure and more about being the athlete and the player and going making plays. That's where I think you're going to see something different. A little more of a, hey, we're going to give this guy the freedom to be here and do something different. Jim Leonard himself said he believes he's had a lot of success in his career with guys that are chess pieces, guys that are kind of positionless. So I think you're going to see that. Yeah, they're going to have rules. But, you know, McDermott's defense, like, it is, you follow your, if you don't follow your rule, you're out of your gap and we're giving up a big run, and that can happen. But as long as you're doing everything structurally sound in 111th, we're going to make everything work here. And for the most part, I mean, they've had really good defenses, you know, 4 season longs and numbers and things like that. But the criticism of those defenses has been in big moments, in big games, against teams that have athletes and speed on the field that counter with you. And I think Jim Leonard wants to make sure he has a defense where he can adapt to any of that and say, it doesn't matter what we've done here and what our rules are. We need to change on the fly because I need my guy to go make a play here.
Sal, I got to say, I've never liked having DJ Moore in fantasy. Maybe when he was with Carolina. I mean, the years with Brady, okay, but he's been a headache. Which, you know, it's a few different things. It's not always the player's fault. The depth chart and the scheme and whatever else. If you want the defense to be terrible for your wide receivers teams, and so you get, you know, garbage time stuff. But I've never...
He helped me a couple of years ago. I don't remember what it was, maybe 23, 24. Yeah. Like, he was really good, and he had a really good year. Maybe it was 23, I think. And like that year sticks with me, like how like he kind of helped my team out a lot, and I think he had some pretty good numbers. But you're right, I think that maybe you see the flashes there, and maybe from start to end, it just hasn't been as much and consistent as you want.
With Justin Fields, that was in Chicago, so 3 seasons ago, like you said. Okay, 72 degrees it was here 2 years ago today. So you said it. It's close. And Saturday's supposed to be warm, so very good.
Well, hey, and nothing matches 2012, the Mario Williams year, when it was like in the 70s during free agency that week.
That's right. That's memorable for sure. Sal, have a safe ride home, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks a lot.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. The Bills trade their second-round pick for wide receiver DJ Moore and the Bears 5th. Moore has had, a lot of this looks good for fantasy football. The numbers, he's had 4,000-yard seasons and even 1,100 yards or more 4 times. Just under 1,000 yards a 5th time. Last year, a decline, and he didn't miss time. He was, you know, brought back a little bit. Ben Johnson goes to Chicago. They get results out of their 2 rookies, Luther Burden, who was a second-round pick last year, by the way. And wink, wink. He was you don't have to tell me. It was an early second-round pick. I'm sorry. So Luther Burden and their first-round pick, Colston Loveland, came on for them. And then they had Odunze, and DJ Moore was kind of capped by that. But it was a good team. And he had a couple of important plays in the postseason. Again, he was marked on that last play, though, for whatever that was. I mean, lack of effort or confusion or whatever. You never really know. Well, you know, unless they tell you and you believe it, whether it's a receiver at fault or a throw. Like, some of the defense for this trade that I've read today mentions Caleb Williams' lack of accuracy. He was also really good at times, so it wasn't only that their quarterback play was bad. I mean, that's more true of the year before with Williams and the Bears. But we had, with Dalton Kincaid, a really low catch rate 2 years ago, and nobody would have really blamed Josh Allen for that because he doesn't get blamed, you know, understandably. And so, not a big topic, but yeah, Kincaid was like in the 50s percentage-wise for like catchable passes 2 years ago, and so why? I mean, he's good physically. This is, of course, when he's healthy, he's on the field, and it just wasn't really there, and that even showed its head last year some, although I don't know what the number was. So, with receivers, it can just be something's off. And, you know, if you're the Bears, and that's the deal, and he's making so much money to begin with, well, you can justify moving on. I think it's what they wanted to do, not just they were willing to do it. And they got a great deal from the Bills. I mean, so much money, 9th year. It just should not have cost this much to trade for DJ Moore, in my opinion. But it did. 803-0550 for your thoughts. I look forward to hearing from more of you after the update. 6 o'clock, Paul Hamilton, Sabres pregame, Buffalo at Pittsburgh. I'm Mike Schoep, and this is WGR.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
When I look at numbers and I look at age starting to be a factor, it's starting to creep in a little bit. I mean, his best year was 2 years ago. His yards per catch was over 14. It went down to 9 the year before, and then last year it was into 13s. He also only had 50 catches a year ago. He's going to be 29. Salary this year is $27 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money when you consider who he is. He wasn't a number one wide receiver a year ago. I get it why the Bills are making the move, but right now I'm kind of in the middle. I know why they did it. I just don't know if he's the answer to the receiver problem.
Pete Prisco. Well, a little bit different criticism than mine. Mine is more squarely concerned with what the Bills gave up for a player that I can't believe anybody would give up what they did for, given everything, his age and his contract, which was all mentioned right there. I'm not sure he's in decline. I'm not saying that about him, but I guess you could. Numbers-wise, yes. So it's different than just like, well, maybe he isn't the same guy. And further, what did the analyst just say? Like, I'm not sure he's the guy to really get the Bills what they need at that position. Who is? You know, I mean, I liked the Mike Evans idea much more than this. I did not like this, the idea of trading for this player, and I still really don't, but it's something. And there weren't that many other possibilities that seemed realistic. So who were they supposed to go get that did accomplish that? Which is, yeah, now they're in great shape. That was always still going to probably be a question, no matter what trade they made or what signing they made or what draft pick they made. And I think that'll still be true, but they're better on paper than they were yesterday. That really goes without saying. Of course they are. You know, it's been fun today. A lot of back and forth on it. My first tweet about this trade was to the effect of, how come nobody on my feed likes it? And I didn't really like it either, but, you know, I follow a lot of accounts, and one by one, they're like, second round pick, 29 years old, $27 million. Like, it was kind of unanimous on my Twitter. People, you know, mostly analysts who were criticizing it. And, you know, I don't need to be told this, but I don't follow fan accounts, you know, really at all, unless it's somebody that I'm friends with. So, you know, a lot of people raise their hand and like, I like it. And it's mostly fans. It's the classic confrontation. It's the best rivalry in sports, the fans against the media. You know, the first response I got today was to the question, like, why doesn't anybody on my feed like this move? And the first response I got, literally the first one, was hating is easier. Hear me out. Let's say we're just going to choose a take. We're not going to put any brain cells into it. We're just going to decide whether we like it and or whether we don't. No thought other than whether we like it or whether we don't. Which is easier? The Bills traded for DJ Moore. Whoa, 29, 27 million guaranteed money for 3 years. Didn't he walk off the field during a play? What happened in Chicago? They had two new guys and a new scheme, and I wonder, okay, that's if you don't like it. Second round pick. Okay, is that easier than this? This is now me choosing to like it. The Bills traded for DJ Moore. Oh, cool. I know who that is. He's good. The end. Never listen to somebody that tells you hating is easier. It's way harder. To do it right, it's harder. Because you've got to construct an argument. And plus, you're talking to people who'd really probably would rather not hear it in some cases, you know? So definitely not, that's definitely not it. It wasn't easier to dislike this trade. It was much harder than just, oh, cool, go Bills. You can do that in, you know, 1 second. You can like this trade in 1 second. I don't think you can dislike it in so little time. It takes a little bit more effort. Definitely not less. Here is Mike next. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree. I mean, you can talk yourself into liking it, but in my opinion, this trade sucks. Not only because of the money, the draft capital, the age, and questionably he's washed, but this smells a lot like Amari Cooper, Curtis Samuel, Josh Palmer, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Dave Davis, Mecole Hardman Jr., Elijah Moore, and Keon Coleman, all bad wide receiver deals.
Well, at least he comes in probably at the top of that list. I mean, it's the biggest swing of any of those guys, unless I missed somebody, certainly the most of them. The Bills haven't paid this price for a wide receiver yet until you go back to Diggs, and that was a home run, trading for Diggs. So, yeah, I mean, what can I say? We threw around a dozen or so names, maybe. Free agency didn't really offer much. I had no interest in Alec Pierce being like top of the market for Alec Pierce. I want to be like Sal said about himself. You want to be consistent, and that's like of the utmost importance to me. So consistency wise, yes, I want them like everybody, including now it appears themselves to address wide receiver significantly. But I didn't want this player, you know, and whatever. Whatever. I mean, he's pretty good, if not very good. And he hasn't had quarterback luck, which is what I think we're going to end up talking ourselves into the most. We're going to all know the names of the quarterbacks DJ Moore played with in Carolina and Chicago and decide, you know, this is different. And maybe it is. I'm curious for not only what that upside might look like, but whether they want to throw the ball more. Because I think there should be that baked in to this trade. If you don't, then you don't make it. I mean, you don't need to spend so much money-wise and draft pick-wise on a wide receiver that you're going to throw 80 passes to. I mean, you want to beat that. So is there going to be a shift in how the Bills play, or is it simply going to be, well, he's better than the guys we have, and we'll run mostly the same offense and see what we get. DJ Moore does deliver touchdowns, or he has in his career. That's another one. Like, he's not big, 6 foot, but he's been productive touchdown-wise in his career, something that, like, Shakir really hasn't been. He might be a little smaller. Not much, I think. Maybe a little bit. But there's something you can look up from DJ Moore's career and like that he's gotten in the end zone. Here's Tim next. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Open market for DJ Moore right now. If he's alongside Alec Pierce, he's getting that money, even at probably 29. I mean, Mike Evans, he's getting hurt here in Buffalo. I mean, in these elements, he's never played north. I mean, I just think there's a lot more upside to DJ Moore than there is Mike Evans in terms of, you know, the next couple of years. And he does satisfy the outside presence that we need. I mean, it's not perfect, but what's a better move? I don't think it's Mike Evans.
Okay. And I absolutely do. I think Evans is just a much better player. And I like offsetting the age point with just the trends on when receivers tend to get old, if you will. And bigger is better. So he did have a couple of injuries, and I want to respect, not ignore that. I mean, I certainly respect that part of the analysis. But, man, I just came to love that idea. I mean, Evans is going to the Hall of Fame. They're not on the same level, these two guys. And if Evans is too old now, it's not only that. Sal made this point, too. You can't know if you're getting Mike Evans. I mean, there are channels, and you're trying, you know, you're looking into it, or Alec Pierce, or anybody you want. You want to be in the room on a player, but like Sal said about Moore, sure, you could wait this out, or could have waited this out, and found out whether he was going to be released, or just maybe the Bears come down in price, and you end up better for it. But you don't get to control the situation unless you do this, unless you go get him. And that's something that with Evans, you know, who knows how many interested teams there might be for him. I would guess there are a lot. If he's going to leave Tampa, I think he'll destroy in free agency, even at 32. So, yeah, I really got excited for Evans. And part of my, as I've said a lot today, my struggle, not even really a struggle, the struggle is the Bills, again, way overpaying, I think, for wide receiver. It's ironic that they keep doing that and are not good at that position. Like, that shouldn't be how it works. But anyway, my struggle is more that Moore has a couple of these, you know, moments where his effort was called into question. And now he's got tons of guaranteed money. I mean, he's going to be on a team that's favored to win big. So were the Bears. I mean, not that they were favored to, but they, you know, won a playoff game. They had a real look at it. Just got to hope that you don't have that. And any trust in Joe Brady helps you toward that because he coached him. Mike Shopier, Bulldog, is out today. We've got the Sabres tonight, pregame at 6. This is WGR.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.